Please excuse me. Kurt Pritchard is now during the conference. If you require any assistance during your call, please press star and zero and operator will assist you. This conference is being recorded. If anybody has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Sir, you may begin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for waiting.
Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Patrick. Is everyone else hearing the same echo I'm hearing?
Yeah, I am.
Talking always on the same one.
Do you want me to continue or hang up and try again?
I think keep going, Kurt.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining. Is there a sense of getting who's on the call?
Certainly, Kurt. We have got Avery Doria, who's a nominating committee appointee to the council, Maria Farrell, Uta Dekker, who is an IPC council rep, Steve Del Bianco from the business constituency, Liz Williams, and Patrick Sherry. Have I missed anybody?
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining. The purpose of the meeting is to briefly review the strategic plan that ICANN posted a week or so ago, and as sort of a way to generate comment or criticism of the report, so that we can amend the report in concert with feedback we're getting. We're going to have several conference calls like this. This is the first one. I know there's a couple targeting GNSO council members and ALAC members in particular. There'll also be a set of calls that target GNSO members. Excuse me?
CCNSO members, Kurt.
CCNSO members that also will allow RIR members to participate if they want. And letters have gone out to the other advisory committees asking them if they'd like a call or absent that, some sort of consultation during the Sao Paulo meetings. I think there'll also be a few opportunities to feedback into the plan in Sao Paulo. Patrick, do you want to talk about those at all?
Yeah, there'll be consultations in Sao Paulo in English, Spanish, French, and Arabic, and the timetable for those is posted on the Sao Paulo meeting website. If you're interested in following up on any of that. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah, thank you. So this is a pretty small group, so have you had a chance to read the plan?
Yes.
You get a sense of that?
Hi, Kurt, it's Maria. I've just finished reading it, actually.
Yeah. So anyway, the plan, as you see, is laid out in a similar fashion to last year, which is something you'd expect. It's a rolling plan. It's a rolling 3-year plan. So we take into account some of the accomplishments from last year, and then carry on with the objectives as we saw them, carrying through as 3-year objectives, adding or amending as we go along based on changes in the environment or things that we've got done or things that we haven't got done. And that resulted in this year's version of the plan. I think that the changes basically go around some changes to specific objectives as we worked our way through them this year. We learned quite a bit, and so in some cases that led to changes in the objectives, and then in some cases there were additions. So I think this year there's a greater focus on measuring and improving organization transparency, and also given our new form of agreement with the United States Department of Commerce, how we're going to manage that and move towards independence. But you see that the headings of the plan, the five headings, remain essentially the same or close to what they were before. And many of the objectives remain the same, you know, just reflecting the progress that's been made to date. So if you like, I think the focus would be to look at, you know, to look at look through those families of objectives to test whether they're well stated or discuss them in a little bit of detail to see if you agree that they're well written or we ought to alter them.
Sir, Steve DelBianco, would you take a question?
Sure.
The page 13, we talked about the organizational excellence and policy development. I went there right away thinking it would be more explicit with respect to how we might implement London School of Economic recommendations with regard to the GNSO Council. And I realized that as a strategic plan, it probably shouldn't get into the details. But I think a lot of readers will take a look at this plan and say, well, how does the LSE review and recommendation process sort of fit in with the objective stated on page 13?
Yeah, I think that's fair because I think you're right on both counts. I think it's the sort of thing that goes into the operating plan. I think you know that every 6 months we do a strategic plan. That's a 3-year plan, and then the 6 months following that we do an operating plan, which is a 1-year sort of action plan for that 3-year plan. And in fact, that's where the LSE plan is mentioned. But in this case, it's sort of a significant the LSE review was sort of a significant accomplishment, and acting on it is going to be more of a significant goal. And I think there's with all these bullets here, these six bullets, I think maybe it should be specifically mentioned. It's certainly the intention of as Liz or Maria would tell you, it's certainly an intention of the policy group and the company to put substantial resources in that and act on it. And I suspect it could earn a specific mention in this.
If only to say that the process used for GNSO using London School of Economics might be, do you have any intention of replicating that review process to the other supporting organizations?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a yes or no answer. I know we learned a lot going through that process, and for example, where the evaluators themselves and that team added considerable value, and some areas where they lacked the right skill set to add other kinds of value. So it might be a London School of Economics study with a different cast, or it might be a different area. But I think one of the objectives should certainly be to learn from that and have that learning inform other studies.
And that's really, Kurt, the basis of 2.1, conducting independent reviews and working with the community
right.
And improvements in the process of supporting organizations and advisory committees.
Right. So that's where, you're exactly right, that's where it's called out, so we should talk about whether we should dive in with a little, if a little more detail would be appropriate there, given the very specific actions that are occurring around that one right now. Okay, good. Well, thank you for that. To scan up through the plan, there's nine, I think, major areas of actually a dozen major areas of excellence in operations that are specified. The first few, exactly the same as last year, target IANA, and then target our customers, which are our customers come to us through IANA, through the GTLD registrars and registries. And then enforcing enforcing the compliance for those groups, and then the last set of customers, the end users themselves. So in those five objectives, we identify our major customers, and then set some objectives that will improve or at least maintain our customer service levels to objectives themselves are slightly more detailed than last year in some cases, but all in all, it's essentially the same as last year. So reading through those, I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments. Under big heading number 1, 1, 2, 5 that identify IANA, the registrars and registries, implementing a contractual compliance program, and then finally for end users. We went back and forth on these a little bit, even though the plan is fairly terse and terse in response to what the community said. Given the very first version of our plan, we went back and forth quite a bit, adding volume or making these objectives more specific or even less specific than they are. So the amount of detail you've seen has been the result of quite a bit of discussion and laying out, fully objectives and how they're going to be accomplished. And what we were left with was this. The next set of objectives have to do somewhat with project management. Seven has to do with an overall project methodology itself, and perhaps it should go above six as an overall thing, but. Given the operating plan that you may have seen that ICANN posted this year, there's 50 some odd projects in there, and ICANN's has grown to a place where things can't be managed because the managers can sort of see all of them or remember all of them. But now with this fairly vast number of projects, we're implementing more formal needs for measuring projects, and that's what you see here. So that the entire ICANN staff is now going through a training. Not that there was no project management training on staff or the capability of managing projects, but just because we're from different areas, to have everybody use the same language and use the same set of tools when managing projects, so that now we have these 50 some odd projects, and we identify them in the same way and identify the deliverables and risks through what we call a project charter, and our schedules look the same, and our work breakdown structures look the same, and our resource planning for those projects looks the same, so that we'll be able to better measure and hopefully better to perform on projects, and then also be able to communicate what we're doing on projects to those outside of ICANN, therefore improving transparency in that way. So. That's just sort of a news note on the big number one objective number 7, which is on page 11. And then there's some specific projects under that we've chose to highlight as particularly important to ICANN. One is a set of three projects under number 6, and those are IDNs. And working through the policy development of new TLDs, and then continued improvement of the L server, which will include the establishment of Anycast systems in different regions. So that's one set of projects, and then 7 identifies another. Rather 8 identifies another project, which is. Sort of our implementation of the contingency plan, which is well underway. There's two contingency plans, one for business failure, if I can't say goes out of business, what agreements do we have with other entities to keep the business if I can't going? And the other is, if there's a great earthquake or tornado or some other physical failure, how do we handle that? So under 8 and 6, which is around 7, we've identified some specific projects. Out of all of them that we think are very important to ICANN and to the community. And then the rest of them, numbers 9 through 12, really go to improving IATA's operations and so that we're better able to measure ourselves and better able to report to the community. So the first two, 9 and 10, have to do with becoming fully competent in the measuring and reporting on a financial viewpoint. And so you all always have to be competent there because ICANN and other firms have to pass fairly stringent independent audits. We're now augmenting our reporting there because we've developed this project planning methodology and measurement. And so we've added and we'll continue to refine additional controls so that we can measure ourselves against these project plans. And then 10 also helps us report it. It helps us interact with the community by increasing our availability for technical advice so that either when asked to give training classes or facilitate technical processes, I can aid in that. You know, we also do this not strictly ourselves, and it's not just hiring technical people, but it's finding technical people to aid in whatever the fight is. So, a clear example is teaming with ISOC to provide technical advice and seminars to developing countries, to say CC managers or CC operators or people that operate, workers there that to educate them as to what IANA services are available or other ICANN services and provide advice on best practices and operation of a registry. So that's an example of that. And then 11 and 12 in this first section really go to measuring ICANN and build it into, continue to build it into an organization that can respond to requirements. So again, maybe 12 and 11 are backwards. Now that I've never explained this. I've just read it, but 12 is to analyze the implications on ICANN as ICANN grows and as the ICANN demands on ICANN grow. So demands on ICANN grow, just through one type of growth, say, where there's, 200 registrars and now there's 800 registrars and all those interactions that have to take place. And as we grow in the number of GTLDs from 10 to 16 this year, and through our educational efforts, our interactions with the number of CCTLDs in IANA have significantly grown, and the activity there has significantly grown. And just the number of registrations in the DNS tend to increase in an indirect way demands on ICANN. There also is the environment becomes more complicated through a process for introducing new GTLDs or processes for implementing other consensus policies. Those all have and say our ability to communicate in a limited amount in different languages, it'll have increased demand on ICANN staff, and the best way to augment ICANN staff to effectively address those different needs. It's not only apparent, or at least if you want to do it economically, it's not always apparent. Some study needs to continually take place in order to scale the organization and grow it in a way that is economical but very effective. And so then the follow-on to that then is number 11, which is right above it, and that is, you know, in cases where that need is to be addressed by retaining staff or retaining consultants, we want to do that so that we find the right person for the jobs, and so that person becomes a long-term contributor to ICANN in whatever role that is. So those things, the improvement in the performance of certain functions, and then the new methodology for project management and the call out of very specific projects, and then putting into place certain methodologies to make ICANN more accountable, transparent, and measurable is one. And then finally some ways of doing that by learning how we should scale the organization, and then by staffing it well, really round out all the items under operational excellence. So I don't know how this is going. Am I talking too much?
But can I come in with a question? This is Uta.
Yeah, sure, Uta.
I was thinking a little bit about the structure of this document, and it seems to me that there's a lot of issues that we have under excellence in operations, and then we go into the other major headings of policy development, etc., that you will come to later. And operations seems to be all in sort of ICANN's internal structure, and then the other major headings are all about, you know, relationships with constituencies and outreach, other international organizations. So I was wondering, one of the subheadings under operations is the compliance issue, and this is, of course, an issue that is very dear to the intellectual property constituency, and it seems to me that it would be almost worth having a separate major heading for compliance work, because, you know, reading through it, you go through policy development, you would then almost automatically think on, you know, you come from policy development, what about the how are the policies then actually implemented and put into action, and that is where the compliance point would come in. So I wonder whether it would be possible to give the compliance work a little bit more exposure. Actually, similar to the challenges issue on page 8, if I can take a step back, those are the dynamic issues that change very fast, and I think one of the main challenges of ICANN at the moment is compliance work, and I'm not really sure whether it fits under environmental or organizational challenges, but I noticed that it is missing from that list.
Okay. Let me just write that down ahead.
When you say compliance, what do you mean?
Currently, compliance comes up as contractual compliance, and if you look at organizational excellence and operations, it would now be subheading for contractual compliance. So that would be ICANN's work with registrars and registries, I suppose, to ensure that the accreditation agreement is put into action and registries adhere to the contractual compliance issues, which of course includes compliance with consensus policies.
I think that, you know, it's a fair comment. We'll talk about it. The reason it's under here is one is that the relationship with the registrars and registries is under this area, and maybe that's a distinction that will be made in later plans where we define the plan for excellence in internal operations, you know, the internal facing ones, which are some of these, and then there's a set of operational excellence ones, such as IANA and GTLD registries and registrars and implementation of IDNs and the like that really face our outward, you know, our outside customers, and that contractual compliance really has to do with them. So that's whether it's right or wrong, I think that's why it was selected for this area. I also there's also sort of a transition in policy development when you once you've developed a consensus policy and the board's approved it, then there's an implementation of that, and the implementation of that falls to the mostly the GTLD registrar and registry staff, although others play a role, and then the compliance function in ICANN really, as presently configured in the short term, and is presently within that registrar and registry liaison role, and I think in the future, as an independent role is established, it'll sure be closely tied to that area. So anyway, that's why it's there. You know, it might merit its own heading, and that's certainly something we'll talk about after this call to see if we think that's the case. I think it definitely belongs up front where you noted that it wasn't. It certainly needs to be prominent because, you know, your feelings on compliance match that of staff as far as recognizing the importance of it. And Paul and I had a discussion about the importance of it and how it should be managed as little as 8 hours ago. So we're very focused on it. No, thank you. So is there anything else? That was the longest portion. The next big section of the plan is organizational excellence in policy development. But I think if you... look down those, the first one is about informing the community through making presentations or doing education or publishing papers. I think that also has to do with, and it's stated more clearly later on, it also goes to ICANN securing those sorts of expertises so that we can do those papers and do that education, and that's punched up later. But the next bullet goes to improving the ICANN process, and that includes review of the roles in the of the supporting organizations and advisory committees so that they can be refined, examining the PDP process itself to try to make that better, and then supporting the SOs and ACs better with the right level of staff, the right level of skills, you know, and bringing in outside expertise where appropriate, and then finally, we're working with the GAC to make their role as effective as it can be. There's it's a lot shorter than the other role, but there's some very important tasks that are undertaking there. Underlying that, for example, are the upcoming reviews of the nominating committee and ALAC, and also a review of the PDP process as it works, and a review of the GAC role. And part of those will, not to be repetitive, but part of those will then feed into the effectiveness of ICANN staff report and how that can be improved.
Pat, this is Uta again. I struggle to understand what exactly is behind sub-point 2, sub-point 3. How does that relate to
sub-point one.
Well, one has to do with specific organization reviews, so such as the recent GNSO Council review conducted by LSC, and so there'll be more of those. And I know the ones on the plate are ones for the nominating committee and the ALAC. So those are specific reviews coming up, whether they're conducted by LSE or whether, in the cases of those organizations, some other outside agency would be more appropriate. I don't know.
And they're bylaw requirements, aren't they, Kurt?
Yes, they are. Thank you, Patrick. And number three, I think that goes through the policy development process itself. So, you know, in another field, I would take the policy development process, and being the person I am, but let that go about it this way, and make a flow chart of the process against the wall, and look at all the value-added tasks to that, and see how we can best support the value-added tasks, and look at the non-value-added tasks, and see if we could take them out of there, and you know, then see, you know, improve the process flow and make sure it's staffed appropriately. So when that's more of a gestalt kind of overall process thing, as opposed to a specific organization review. So maybe that needs to be made a little clearer.
Yeah, so far it kind of looks as if point one was on the various organizations and committees and their statutes, and then point two was on the PDP as such, and whether that is sufficient and what it leads to, and then point three is kind of all consensus policy work. So presumably that would be sort of through the work of the committees and organizations and the way how the PDP works. So kind of raises the question of what is left.
Yeah, so let's take that back and try to clarify the distinction there. Thanks for that. And as we discussed earlier, we might add a call out here to state our objectives, given that we have the LSE study in hand. Okay. Usually I'm funny, but not at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Good. I wonder if we can just take comments on each of the next three areas rather than you working through them in detail with your foggy 5 o'clock in the morning head.
No, thank you.
I'm sure people have had the chance to read it, and if they want to make comments, we'd be certainly very happy to take them.
Okay, well, that's fine with everybody. I'll cut this next description way short, and then I can augment on it if you want. But number three is improving international participation of ICANN, and ICANN's done a lot this year with the retention of regional liaisons in the five areas of the globe. And so this goes to you know, using languages other than English, and you know, supporting policy development processes in a way that meet a global rather than regional audience, and then working with CC members of the community in a way I described earlier. So actually this one is kind of short anyway, but I think the three things here are very meaningful. If anybody has ideas for augmenting this section or questions, we're very happy to take them.
This is Steve Del Bianco. Having been in Athens for the IGF and what the United Nations has in mind there, it behooves us to name IGF amongst the parties in here that we intend to interact with, pick up initiatives for international participation. So there's an increased likelihood they'll stay out of our business if we specifically call out an intention to listen to IGF and what their ideas are.
Steve, that's picked up to some extent in section in big heading 4, point 6 in particular, but I think your point's very valid that we may need to be a little bit more specific about exactly who's intended in that. If you have a look at 4.6, perhaps you could let me know whether you think that's starting to address the sort of things that you've just mentioned.
Yeah, this is Aubrey. And looking at 4, I mean, I thought in general it was okay, but I think it does want a little bit more specificity in terms of, you know, perhaps. In reading it, I said, yes, good, but I wasn't quite sure what came out of it.
Okay. I think there's two things to take out of that, Avery. One is to look at the language again and see where we can make it more specific, if that's the way that it appears to the reader. And the second is to say that I think some of the detail of this will get picked up in the operating plan in terms of specific deliverables for a 12-month period. But if, you know, if, as you've just said, reading it, it sounds good but not clear, then we certainly need to address that.
Was there a specific place, Avery, that jumped out at you?
No. Just in reading through it, I basically sort of, at one level, I sort of knew what was being said, but when if asked to sort of say, so what will I can do? And maybe it is difference between operation plan and this, although in some of the other areas there's more specificity. I wasn't able to say it was kind of, I just didn't know. You know, for example, identify key forums. Well, okay, should this be sort of indicating perhaps not an exhaustive list, but what we think they are?
If I could, on item 3, number 3 of 3, you actually do list, not an exhaustive list, but a list of 4 different groups, you know, governments, private sector, and civil society, in 3.3, and that might be a place where you indicate governments, private sector, civil society, and the Intergovernmental Forum. If only to be able to indicate that the IGF participants, who are quite enthusiastic right now, would look at this document and say, hey, great, ICAM knows we exist. They're acknowledging that we exist.
Steve, I think your point about the IGF is very well made. I think 3 is actually, section 3.3 is actually trying to make a slightly different point, which is more geared to the specific needs of CC managers, and it has a technical element. You know, if you take sub-point 2 of point 3 there, you know, minimum standards for technical aspects of DNS management and so forth. I think your point about the IGF, as I said before, is very well made, but it's probably more appropriate for section 4 of the plan.
I'll take your word for it. That's right.
Yeah. And so we'll certainly, and I think Avery's saying the same thing, that at the moment there's actually nothing wrong with section 4, but it's not right enough. And so if we can be more specific about exactly what's intended here, that would be a good thing, including the IGF as a specific case. Steve, I think you're saying it's something that would be very useful.
Thank you.
Is that right?
Thank you.
There is some crossover here between 3 and 4, but I think you see that they're intended to address somewhat separate issues.
Yeah, and I have one other issue, and it's something that I don't know whether it falls in 4 or somewhere else, but 4 seemed the place that attracted me, I guess given my interest. And that's, I mean, 4, for example, talks about new business models, and we talk about development in various places, and I'm wondering where it would fit to sort of, and that's one of the things that we talked about in the GNSO process on the new GPLDs, was some way to help those with assistance who can't quite, in development areas who can't quite make it into the current business models. And so there's a developmental approach to business models, you know, and not specifically using words like aid or, you know, or whatever, because, you know, it has to remain a business model. But there is a notion that one has to developmentally encourage a business model and have a business model that is appropriate and applicable to development areas. And I'm wondering if that fits in anywhere.
Avria, I support that really strongly. In some senses, we've tried to pick that up in, I just need to go back and get the reference here. It's section 3.2, which is talking about designing ICANN business and policy development practices and processes to support the needs of a global audience, which is really acknowledging that we need to be sure that the ICANN business model is actually one that is inviting and inclusive of anyone on the globe who wants to do business within the ICANN environment. So we've tried to pick it up a little bit there. But I think that maybe in 4, we could be a little bit more specific about the development aspects of 4.1.
That's what I was kind of thinking, that the new business models could somehow have a comment that says including those, you know, appropriate for development areas.
Yep.
Because they are different.
Yes. Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's a point very well made.
Yeah, because I saw the 1 and 3 as being more that content that gets put under the rubric of capacity building, more than I saw it as the developmental business model.
Yeah, yep, I take your point, that's good. Any other points on 3 or 4? Kurt, would you like
the last really goes to the one that's captured ICANN development as an organization, and that is where in the past it discussed how ICANN was going to manage the end of the MOU period with the U.S. government. Now that MOU has ended. It now describes more clearly what the transition should be to a independent ICANN, and so the projects here are all new and different from the ones last year, and we were working in this collaborative style. We have the President's Advisory Committee and other forum, and Internet Governance was the whole purpose of the IGF gathering, so it's quite a worldwide discussion right now, and this is meant to capture what ICANN's role in determining its next model and how to transition to that model, how we should go about that will be defined.
Can I comment on 5 and 5?
Of course.
I didn't want to interrupt, but thank you.
Please.
So, but that one, conduct review of the appropriate administrative structure. I like that as a statement. I'm wondering, though, if it needs to basically ensure more than the stability. I think that we're looking at here to ensure, the stability. And I know these words get used a lot, and sometimes their meaning is sort of fuzzy. But the transparency and sort of the international accountability. And as, yes, private sector, but how do we, and one of the things that is behind all this is a notion of international accountability, however that is understood or done. So I'm wondering if that 5 can be amplified with some words to that effect.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Avery, because it's certainly the intention to include those sorts of ideas, and if it's clear from what's there, then we should definitely put it in.
Yeah, I had the same point as Uta. I would think that 5.5 was really meant to go towards reaching of the general objective. No? Could it be as broad as that?
Well, certainly, yeah. There needs to be some result of the review, right? So some objectives that are specified as a result of the review, just like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I just think it's also important somewhere in five to get into this notion of moving from single nation accountability to international, multi-nation, multi-stakeholder accountability. And while the earlier parts of the document do talk about multi-stakeholder and talk about, you know, many governments, et cetera, this particular one, well, it has the multilateral, multi-stakeholder inclusiveness, but, you know, and so perhaps it just can be emphasized in that last point. Perhaps going as broad as it just said does it, but.
Yeah, so I agree with what you said. I want to make sure we differentiate it from the point above that, which talks about everything we just talked about, openness, transparency, inclusiveness, and, you know, improving the multi-stakeholder environment.
Right. But four is current ICANN mechanisms and reporting, and I think five has to include the notion of accountability, I guess is what I'm really talking around and finally getting to. It's that notion of to whom is ICANN accountable. It's private sector management, but it still has to maintain an accountability to, yes, it's stakeholders, but that's fuzzy, and so I guess that's what I'm looking for to sort of posit the accountability point.
Okay.
No, I have another question, good if I may. On a point 5.3, we're talking about contact with key stakeholders, and I'm not quite sure what those key stakeholders would be.
They'll be not exclusively, but some of them will be governments, because at the moment managing the relationship with those stakeholders is important for the transition. But it's by no means definitely just set up with them. There will be other stakeholders, and I think that five is a little vague because at the moment no one's quite sure exactly what will be involved. But it will be, governments will be part of three, as will other stakeholders in the multi-stakeholder model.
So among all the many stakeholders, some will become key stakeholders, and those would be, of course, the government in the form of the GAC, or and how would other stakeholders be chosen?
I don't think this is meant to be exclusive in that sense. It's not a matter of choosing some stakeholders over others. I think it's at various stages of the transition, it will be important to keep close contact with various sets of stakeholders. The set of stakeholders may well change over time as the transition makes its way forward. I think it's just trying to pick that point up.
I think one representation of that is the President's Strategy Committee that has a cross section of members from the community, and those members, you know, to a lesser or greater extent, depending on which constituency they are a member of, can represent that constituency, and certainly that's not to be the only consultations or people consulted, but it's one way that those consultations take place.
Hmm. That's just my general comment that I think obviously a lot of focus will be on that point, because people will worry a lot about what the exact process is going to be in order to get to a private sector management, and they would normally, as a default, I suppose, assume that everybody who's otherwise a stakeholder would be involved as usual, and almost inviting that question by putting key stakeholders, that people would worry that, you know, that I'm sure I'm not the only person who would eventually worry about this. how is it going to be different from the normal process of designing processes and making decisions?
Well, there's an opportunity in Sao Paulo where this will be discussed, so we'll make sure that's one of the questions that are answered. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Patrick?
I think Judith's point is actually a very good one, that while what 5.3 is trying to say is at various stages of the transition process, work out who the key stakeholders are at a point in time, work with them, look at the next stage, who are the key stakeholders there, work with them. That's not necessarily an exclusive process. It's actually saying keep in contact with, as it is suggesting, I think, the stakeholders, knowing that at times some will be more important at one stage than another. And by putting key in, we're possibly suggesting an exclusivity which is not actually intended. So by taking it out, we remove that problem. Would that be a wise move, do you think, Uta?
Yeah, I think that would... That would take care of that concern.
Yep, that's a good point.
Okay, great. Thank you, Patrick.
Now, Kurt, I think that takes us to the end of the document.
Yeah. Are there any other comments anyone wishes to make?
Just a question. You probably said this. What is the schedule for this sort of being completed? There's several months yet, right?
Well, not really. The board has become, and here's the rationale behind it, and the board in its discussions and in providing some oversight to our operations has discussed the planning cycle. And remember, the planning cycle is the first 6 months of the fiscal year, July through December, is for strategic planning, and the second 6 months, January through June, is for operating planning. And it seems that in the past 2 years, our operating plan has gotten off to kind of a slow start because the strategic plan wasn't done yet. And I think that's a function of, you know, the odd cycle of ICANN meetings. We're trying to get two major bits of planning done through the fiscal year, but we've got three ICANN meetings, so there's always sort of an offset about when you can conclude things. So the board this year, specific board members, but then the rest of the board seems to agree, has urged us to finish the strategic planning, you know, in December so that we can timely start the operating planning cycle in January, and you would think that maybe they could go on in parallel, but we found it difficult for the company then to make parallel and separate two planning tracks. So for those reasons, we're hoping to, you know, have, you know, these several sets of telephonic consultations and be able to feed that back into some amendments to the plan that we can then discuss in Sao Paulo in the meetings that Patrick described earlier in this meeting, and then also, in a public forum also.
So that means the board would be acting on it sometime after Sao Paulo, but near either before the beginning of the year or shortly thereafter.
Or potentially in Sao Paulo, yes, depending on, you know, where we think comments are.
Right.
And
if
everybody's okay with that, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Kurt, this is Mike Blage. I joined late. I apologize. Will there be an audio recording? I know you're doing another call on this tomorrow. I was just wondering if there would be an audio recording, if I could sort of catch up on what I missed during the first part of the call so I don't ask any duplicative questions tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a, so sadly for me, there's an audio recording of this.
And, Mike, you're definitely a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You should know me by now, Patrick. I made all three of the LSC calls. There you go.
My word.
Wow, that's great.
That is gluttony.
Okay, well, if nobody has anything else, then, I think the comments were very good and the level of questions was very good, and I appreciate them because each one of them all add some value to what the document is, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to attend. So, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.